Welcome to the Disney Hour Express podcast. I'm Abby.
And I'm Rob. We are two hopelessly romantic Disney enthusiasts.
Sharing fun stories, secret tips, and family travel experiences.
If you are a Disney newbie, or maybe a season pass holder, we hope you find this information helpful.
We turned our love of Disney into a unique boutique travel agency that books Disney and Universal vacations.
We've got a lot of stories, so cozy on up, choose your favorite drink,
whether that be a cocktail or a hot chocolate,
and enjoy the Disney Hour Express.
Hey there, Disney Hour Express Podineers. Thanks for coming to episode 70. We're so happy to have you here. How you doing over there, Rob?
I don't know if I like the full name. I don't know, Disney Hour Express Podineers.
Listen, it's, just let it go. We need to move
Podineers,
on. It's one.
I can
it's
handle
done.
Maybe. It's maybe growing on me slightly, but the full name seems like it seems like a chore. Seems like a chore.
Anyways, how was your day today?
Speaking of chores.
What about the chores? It was a day full of chores.
It was a day full of chores.
How it was your day a day today? Full of chores. Yeah, samesies. Just, we are in outdoor world now. It's finally nice weather.
And we are
just getting everything ready.
Memorial Day next week, right?
Yep, that's right. And we're getting our gardens ready. Everything's looking really nice so far, right? But it's a lot of work. It's a work to get it up there. So we've been busy, like crazy.
I'm going to say something that most people don't know.
What's that?
Home ownership is tough.
Oh my gosh.
No one knows No one else knows that in the world. I'm the only one that ever thinks that, right?
It's funny that it is the American dream because I miss the days in which we didn't have so much maintenance.
I'm exhausted.
Exactly. But
it is a Sunday.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so it's the
we had a busy weekend already.
We have a lot of FTP travel specialist down in Disney, right?
They're down in Disney World. We have Nikki from the Magical Minute. She is down there enjoying her best life. This is a late birthday celebration that she's down there with her boyfriend, Nick. And then we have travel specialist Ava and Dylan, who are actually traveling together with a couple other friends and enjoying the good life at DVC as well as the park. So they are doing it up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're even going to stop over in Animal Kingdom at the travel specialist table and booths there that they have open just for
Yeah. Just for the travel, the agents, the specialists.
That's right.
And we saw Tink was there. I think
Tink
she was at the beach
there.
Resort.
That's
we got
right.
some people that live down there that are annual pass holders, so they're always there. It's just like, of course I was there.
Of
it was
course.
A Saturday.
I know. And May is a good time to go. It's not crazy busy. The weather is perfect, right? Mm. And they are, the flower and garden is about to end here, so they've got to get in those last days because it ends on May 27th.
I was looking before. I'm not going to bother everyone with doing a queue time check, but it seemed like the queue times were okay. I looked at Magic Kingdom briefly, and it was Seven Dwarfs Mine Train was still 70 minutes, but that's kind of, you know, par for the course.
Yeah, I mean, you know. All good things are happening. But today we wanted to gear our episode towards some rides that really, in our opinion, need to be revamped, right?
And the reason we are talking about it is, I'll give you a slight backstory, is that if you guys didn't know, Abby and I are Disney obsessed. So obviously it's known that we are into Disney. So like my friend group, while we talk about other things and sports and stuff, they also know that like the Disney of it all, right? That we're travel agents, ownership, whatever. And so they send me whenever they see things in the news and they're like, oh, hey, is this true? Like, you know, so my friend John sent me an article last night, and it was one of those articles that's kind of like the, you know, it's like io9news.com. You're like, what? Okay. And you, so you only take half of it with a grain of salt. But exactly. And it was kind of like, it was bringing up, it was like it had a, you know, one of those headlines. It's like popular ride closing or, you know, yes, something.
Like, what is it? Inside the Magic or something like that, or Insider News. Oh, they always have the worst news.
Yeah. Anyways. So they're always just, you know, trying to grab your attention. This one talked about how, you know, Tiana's Bayou was closing. And then it mentioned that it said two rides that could possibly be become refurbished or going to be refurbished, even though I haven't heard anything necessarily. Was they're saying Space Mountain, which I found kind of laughable. I was like, maybe. But then they talked about Big Thunder Mountain Railroad,
right,
which is something that obviously we've talked about it at length with the expansion to the parks, that their possible expansion to Magic Kingdom being over beyond the Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. So maybe it would, you know, that could seem like something that could happen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's it probably, with that expansion, there's going to be some things. And to be honest, this is one of the rides we do skip quite often. I think it's a little bit older, rickety, and we're...
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like Heidi had an aversion to it when I was trying to get her. I was like, do you want to go on Big Thunder Mountain? She's like, no. I was like, why?
I think she couldn't like relate it to something that she knew. So sometimes when you just don't know what's ahead, you're kind of like, no, I'm good.
And it's like whenever before you would get as far as Splash Mountain and then you're like, nah, I don't need, I'm good here. I'm going to head back. I don't want to go to the, because like Big Thunder Mountain Railroad's in like a dead end, right? It's at the end of the, you can't go around the lake there. So it's just kind of in one of those places. So between Tiana's obviously just big remade, news, right? Between Test Drive being down, it seems like there's time.
Yeah. There's time, and there's definitely things that need to they need to up their magic game on some things. So do you want to kick it off with the first ride?
Yes, my first ride.
And I'm just gonna say, hey, your mic is movable, so you can move it in front of you when you're ready.
Oh, I love being married to you.
I know, you know, I'm the best.
It is awesome. Thank you for that helpful tip. So this one, I mean, it's obviously much talked about as being something that needs to be reworked. Now, the thing is I don't know how it would be reworked in necessarily a way, that would make it more interesting, but it's something that we never even consider going into this.
Oh, I'm really interested to hear what attraction. This is.
I mean, it's a pretty easy one. It's probably on most lists, but it's the Hall of Presidents.
Oh, yeah. You know, I went there like when I was young, and I don't know that I was bored or anything. It was interesting. I think, but it was, let's say 25 years ago at this point, and the animatronics have not changed, right?
No.
So I could see how it would be a little bit.
That was this ride opened in 1971 when the park opened. It's 52 years old. They just keep adding presidents
to there.
So there's been quite a few additions over the in the last 52 years. So now all 45 are up there.
I mean it's a good thing to have. I feel like, you know, Walt Disney was for sure very patriotic and definitely nods to things.
But it was at the time the animatronics seemed, you know, they were like, you know, ooh, that's fun.
Yeah.
But now it's just kind of like...
Now we need to move more towards like holograms and like...
Yeah, see, that would be something. There has to be some other type of technology that could be implemented to at least make that... Like maybe the kids, despite it being like a history lesson and something, you know, they're in like social studies class... they would want to sit through it, because right now they would just be like, can I have my Kindle?
What is this?
I can't do it. So maybe like they need to like, I don't know, they need to have like Obama rapping or something, or
Obama's my man. I could see that happening.
I don't know. Something else.
Okay.
But, you know, they have obviously cool animatronics, what they've done now, we've seen with Tiana's. So I think they could up the game mm-hmm. a little bit and maybe have this be an actual attraction.
Okay. All right. That's fair game. I could see how that's definitely. And the Hall of Presidents, it's over in Magic Kingdom, correct?
It's Magic Kingdom. Yeah. I agree. Just, the Frontier Lands.
You know, so that being said, I feel like in my list of rides, Magic Kingdom came up a lot. Right. And that's because of when it opened and that some of these rides haven't they've been touched over the years for sure, as far as like up, not updated, but like kept
like maintenance
wise. Yeah. Yes. But along with like the foods and stuff, like, yeah, Magic Kingdom needs a little bit of a.
I concur.
Smidge of a revamp here.
I concur.
So mine is also over in Magic Kingdom, and it is a rocket spinner ride called Astro Orbiter.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Orbiter,
so
huh?
This one originally, it opened up in November of 1974 as Star Jets.
Okay.
And not much has changed. Astro Orbiter opened then in 1994, April of 1994, just kind of with a different name, a little bit of retheming. Now, if you've ever seen this ride from like below or afar at night, it looks really cool. I mean, it does look Tomorrowland-ish.
Yeah, so it's in the middle of Tomorrowland, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like in the busy like thoroughfare.
And I think
it's on top of a building.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And we all look at it and we're like, how do you get up there? Like, that is the number one question.
Yeah.
Nobody understands how to get up there, right?
Nope.
That's because there's only two elevators. And not like, you know, elevators, like big ones where like 30 people can fit in. I mean, like I'm talking about like 10, six or seven people can fit in there comfortably. And then it brings you up to the top. Now, imagine like a line of people waiting to go on this and how long it takes you to get up there. It's a lot. It's a lot. And then when you get up there, guess how many actual rocket spinners there are? There's like only 12.
Oh,
right. And you're thinking about two people per rocket spinner. I mean, maybe an adult and two kids can go on it. Maybe, but it's not big. And the Astro Orbiters, when they spin, it's just in a way that like you get crushed, like you're going towards the outer edge of this Astro Orbiter. It is the most uncomfortable ride I've ever been on at Disney.
I found it to be way more thrilling than I thought it was going to be.
So now I'm getting to that part. It has amazing park views. Imagine if we had gone at night, how gorgeous it would be up there. But it's also going really, really fast. Like I felt like it was going super fast that I couldn't even like, where am I? Oh, there I go. Where am I? Oh, there I go. So you're just like going round and round, and you do get a little dizzy, but it is above everything. So you get great views. And if you're not one to get a little motion sick, like you can handle it and kind of take some video or some pictures. It's cool.
I think it's funny, the other day we were just talking, the travel specialist Dylan was she stopped by, had dinner with us the other night, and we were talking to the kids, and she was trying to bring up something, she couldn't remember something that was in Tomorrowland. And so we were naming everything that was in Tomorrowland, and we still haven't figured out what she was thinking about. But we brought up Astro Orbiter, and then as we were explaining it to Bailey, she was like, oh, the one with the elevator. She's like, I don't like that ride. Not so much that the ride, it was just the elevator.
Part. Well, because it was a long wait, it was hot in that elevator, definitely no air.
Like, you don't want to be, it's like, how, it was kind of weird. Why couldn't they just put up a stair system?
And then when you get up there, there's not a lot of waiting room, so it's like you're waiting below to get on that elevator. That's where the long wait time happens.
And then it's like, people are like, well, if you're, you know, you want to leave your backpack or something, like you just kind of leave it in like against the railing, like there's no, that's like on the walkway to the ride. It's really. Yes, that's a good, that's a very good pick.
So people say the ride itself is only about 90 seconds, and people usually only visit this as like a time filler. Let's say you have a lightning lane or something coming up, like, and you have a little bit of time. Yeah, this would be when you did this ride. But it's rickety. It's just like Dumbo or Aladdin. It has the joystick where you can go up and down. That's it. There's nothing else about it. You just go up and down and you go round and round. So I just,
up and down and round and round.
For thinking about going into like a rocket, right? And you're going into Tomorrowland and outer space, the theming needs to be updated. I mean, look at Space 220 and how you get up into Space 220 versus how you're getting up into Astro Orbiter. Like, what a difference. I don't feel like I'm in space when I'm up there. I feel like I'm scared. Like, and I'm going into a tin can, because really that unit doesn't look very sturdy or steady, right?
I'm with you.
So anyways, I just think that that needs to be redone, and it's a bit scary. So let's get it together, Disney.
I concur.
Again, that's over at Magic Kingdom, Tomorrowland. What do you got for your second?
So my second one has been something that I've brought up before in the past. And it's a ride that we've mentioned many times.
Uh-oh, is our second one the same one?
Is it the much maligned Peter Pan's Flight?
No. Oh. Go for it, Dave. Talk about that.
Okay. So Peter Pan's Flight, which is located in Fantasyland, right? In the castle courtyard area, I guess they call that. It's been around for quite a while. It opened back in 1971, 52 years old. That was an opening day attraction.
Okay. I mean,
Peter Pan itself has been around forever. It was, you know, it's a much beloved story, and it's something that also could be updated. I remember it was my first, what I can remember to be my first trip to Walt Disney World. You know, I was back in the mid-80s. I remember that ride was used by my mom to nurse my sister, my younger sister.
Because it was quiet. Yeah, it was like dark
and quiet. And so that's what they used to go get their, you know, she was hungry. So like, it just seems like since then it hasn't really changed. Like, there's been some maintenance involved, and there's been refurbishments, and it's the one in Disneyland also is an opening day ride, and that was what, 1955? So that one's even older. This one has it's a little bit different in that it has the Omni Mover. You kind of get on, it's kind of like a haunted mansion.
It's
always moving, conveyor belt type thing. And so now it gets stuck, especially when somebody, you know, throws a plastic wand.
I stuck my hand under there and got it out. And the cast member yelled at me, "You can't put your hand under there." I'm like, "Lady, if that wand had gotten crushed, this ride would have been down the rest of the week." Like, let's face it. And
that ride is rinky dinky.
I know.
And it's just not as interesting as it should be. And I guess I'm not really one of the nostalgia
Peter Pan nostalgia.
So I don't get the attract, like why it's, I just don't understand why it's so busy.
But I guess if you really think about it in the way of like, what are family friendly rides that we can go on, right? That you have, let's say, a toddler or a baby or whatever, you're going to go on this ride because it's safe, it's not scary, and it's slow moving. Even Winnie the Pooh has twists and turns and jerks. I'm not going to bring a baby on there. People do, which is fine. That's up to you. But the jerkiness of the ride when you're in the blustery day is definitely jarring to some children. Now, so we've got, you know, the rides are limited. You're just going to go on what you can go on. And most of it is in Fantasyland for sure. And that's not a lot of rides over there. It's not a lot. You're thinking small world, thinking about hanging out in a clam shell with the Little Mermaid and Pirates of the Caribbean can be a little scary for kids sometimes. But it's dependent, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes, yes, yes.
So the rides are really limited. Now, when you take Peter Pan, what I love about it and I know you're ready to cry and throw things at me because Love and Peter Pan should not go in the same sentence. It's not a great ride. But looking at things from above and you're like looking down at a map and like it does bring a really different perspective that other rides do not. Because most of the other rides, we're looking up, we're looking to the sides and around. But on this ride, you're looking down, and that's unique.
But it could be even more unique if it was more interesting.
Yes.
And it could just be done better. It could be made so that you feel like you're higher up. There's more ways, like there's new advancements to make you feel, you know, the way that force perspective and such that, I don't know, it just feels like they could do so much more with it. And then when you do actually get to like, you know, the parts where you're seeing the Lost Boys and you're seeing all these, you know, the Darling family and everything, it just, it feels like it could be better. And it should be better. Yeah,
it could be. For sure. I agree.
There's been so many different variations of the Peter Pan story. Mm-hmm. Books, a ton of books. There's like so many movies. I'll run down some of them. The original Peter Pan was done in, that was 1924.
Fine as, huh?
Old one.
Yeah.
So they have that. There was one, there was, then there's like unauthorized. This, it's funny how they list. It's Peter Pan, 1987, an unauthorized live action musical adaptation by Belarus Film.
Whoops.
For Soviet television. Like, okay. Oh. All right. There was Hook. You know, that was obviously,
that was a pretty famous one. Yeah.
Yeah. That was, there was Peter Pan in 2003 with Jeremy Sumpter. Mm-hmm. And Rachel, no, sorry. I thought I said Evan Rachel Wood. Rachel Hurd Wood.
Oh, yes. I remember this one. Yes.
Or something. There was Neverland in 2003 mm-hmm. with Will Wheaton as John Darling. There was Pan in 2015, and that was with who was the Peter in that one? Levi Miller. I don't really remember that one. Mm-hmm. Amanda Seyfried played Mary. Mm-hmm. Hugh Jackman was Blackbeard. Rooney Mara was Tiger Lily. Okay, now I remember. Yes, that was there. Everyone was like, ew, that was about. There was Wendy in 2020, a live action reimagining from Wendy's perspective. Yes,
that's right. We definitely watched that.
And then there was something called Come Away, which I'm not familiar with. A film that portrays Peter Pan as the brother of Alice from Lewis Carroll's story of Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Never heard of it. None of that. Wait, the cast includes Angelina Jolie was in it. Never heard of this one. Interesting. There was Peter Pan and Wendy, and that's the one.
Yes,
that's
the most recent.
And that was the live action version. It's kind of like a reimagining again from that was Wendy's
perspective
again.
Yes,
but it had a lot to do with. You know, Peter Pan.
Yeah. But now, even that one, I thought like our kids would like it, like before us even seeing it, I was like, oh, good. It's from a female perspective. My kids can relate, right? It's not so Lost Boys heavy. And we just didn't gravitate towards it as much. I don't know. I don't know why.
Hey, I'm with you. Now there's one more that's coming out, and this one I wasn't aware of, but there's a Peter Pan adaptation coming out in 2024. It's called Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare.
Oh.
It's just like that Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. I don't know if anyone remembers that, the horror movie.
Yes, because it's of the
same, it's the same company. It's a horror reimagining of the story.
What is it? The trademark dates or something? Or something expired?
Yep. It's going to be set in the same universe. So I wonder how that's going to work out.
All right. Creepy. Well, interesting.
Like, you think about it, right? Like, Peter Pan and there's, like, shadows, like, always, like, doing mischievous things. And
yeah.
Peter Pan's coming in your window. Maybe Pan's the, like, the you know, he's the villain in there.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, kids. It's okay. Turn it back on. It's safe to listen now.
Anyways, well, I agree. That definitely needs to be reimagined, updated. But I think the challenge for sure of updating the ride and having it be down for quite some time would be like it takes a very small amount of rides where the whole family can go on. Yeah, away from guests visiting. So it would need to be done at a time when there weren't a lot of guests.
Oh, there's never. Which there's is always a lot of times. Yeah.
Yeah. It's never.
There's always downtimes then.
I don't know. I think the only downtimes would be probably the first week or two of February.
Like, yeah, but.
And then after that, it's like.
Just to be clear, one thing, if I could correct before we get emails saying that, like I missed it. The 1924 version was a silent movie version of Peter Pan. It was an authorized version, but it was silent movie. Obviously, the 1953 animated one, that's the, you know, the classic.
There was
a ton of other ones, you know, live stage adaptations that were filmed and things like that. But those were just live action movies I was talking about.
Okay. All right. So, folks, we talk about this next ride a lot. And but it is in desperate need of some updating for sure.
Okay.
It's a ride that people often go on when it is storming outside and they need a reprieve from rain. And then they go inside and they realize, oh my gosh, there's a ride in here. What? I didn't know that. Right.
I was just shopping for maracas. Yeah, or something.
I was just coming inside because there's a cool little what do you call it? Like neighborhood shopping area. So this is the Grand Fiesta Tour starring the Three Caballeros over in Epcot. Oh boy, does it need some revamping. Yikes. If you look at the description, it says, take in the sights of Mexico and the antics of three feathered amigos on this gentle boat ride through the Mexico Pavilion. And I'm telling you, there is never a wait time past like 5 minutes. It's really not.
Just about. That's it's kind of like the, if it is, you know, there's something wrong in like the universe.
Yeah,
right?
like something's happening outside that's like a tornado or something. Yeah. So this has Donald Duck as the big character of this, and you're going to cruise down the Rio Grande on a dark, right? It's dark in there, boat ride past some of the most famous sites and cities in Mexico. And there's like kind of funny parts and there's some, I don't know, music, but.
Yes. It's like a mixture of like live action screen like work with animated Donald Duck.
Yes. And it's just I don't know. It's just not in this era.
Yeah.
Like you see it and you're kind of like, oh my gosh, is this really happening right now? Because you can't believe that this is a ride that Disney is still advertising and standing behind. It's just so bad.
Now, it's also, it's funny in that this is obviously one of the rides that Abby's been to Disney World way many more times throughout her existence than I have, but she didn't go on this ride until like we were together. Like,
True. And like, now I've been on it like 5 times.
Yeah.
So.
In fact, I think one time we actually went on it twice. Like, there was no.
Yeah,
one,
because there was just, no way. And they were just like, want to go again.
Yeah. We just like went back. We were like, all right, sure. Why not? You know? And the kids kind of like it because it's slow moving and it's easy to take in.
So that's something to say about it is the kids do like it. And it's not like their number one have to go to it ride. Like it's not Soarin' or something. It's just kind of like, oh, yay, fun. Like I know what to expect. It's not scary. And I get like a little fun fireworks show at the end, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because they do have that, which is one of my favorite scenes. And I have put it up on our on our Instagram a couple of times, like just the fireworks at the end. But okay, so this ride opened in 2007. Can you believe that, first of all?
Really?
How recent is that for such an outdated ride?
I figured it was like as soon as Epcot opened.
It's located in the pyramid in Epcot. So some people just don't know about it. But saying that it was opened in 2007, let's just say that it replaced a boat ride called El Rio del Tiempo, which means River of Time. That was the previous ride that was in there that was actually opened up in 1982. Does this make more sense for you?
Okay.
Right? Like, yes. I could see this as being a more 1980s created ride with the graphics and things that are going on in there.
So they just kind of like retrofitted
I think they really didn't do a whole lot in the revamps. But yeah, so the original ride, it was various scenes of Mexico's history replaced, and then it was replaced with, I mean, it was really the same thing, but yeah. Like Donald Duck came in. So I don't know. Mm. Now I'm nostalgic about it because my first time on it was with you, right? And I've always wanted to go on it. And like, it was always like this ride where I'd like say whoever I was going with, like, whether it be a large group of people or whatever, I really want to go on that one. I have to go on it. And every time it would get to the end of the night and we'd be like, we can't.
Yeah. We're not walking there. Back across the World Showcase to get to it.
So like when we went on it for the first time and I was like so excited, I was like definitely like trying to keep my excitement like at peak where it was because we were finally getting on the ride and it was a little hard, but at the same time we go on it now every time. Yes. So it's become part of our nostalgia bucket.
And it's like it's so convenient in that there's the restaurant right there. So you're already indoor.
And I do love that restaurant. Yeah. I love it.
Like the atmosphere of it. And you know, the food's good, but it's like the atmosphere. Yes. It's you know, it's very romantic, even though you're usually there with your family. But it is like but that's why it's like one of those things where we just like we're always on the fence of whether or not we give the kids the Kindles to like
yeah, because let's face it, like we are super interactive with our kids on all the rides and we're like talking about it the whole time in the lines. Yeah. We don't usually use electronics. We're just like talking. And if we're using electronics, that's because we're doing a family game. So like we're like in it. We're in it. So when we finally sit down to have a meal, there's part of us that's like, can you guys just entertain yourselves?
Yeah, just go into your things. And, we'll do it.
But then there's part of me too that's just like, listen, this is the most interesting restaurant. Like if you go out into a restaurant in your hometown, you're not going to have theming like this. You're not going to have like staff that has been trained to be cast members and like just you know the area that they're serving so well. And I'm telling you, if you talk to staff members that are serving you, they've been there for 20 or 30 years. They can tell you everything about this restaurant. They can tell you, you know, oh, I'm originally from, and it could be a part of Mexico. And you're like, that's so interesting that you came here to work. Why? Because they love it so much, because this is an opportunity for them to have a piece of home while they're working, right? So when they say you love your work, if you never feel like you're working or whatever like that. So
while all that being said,
yes,
the kids don't care about theming, unfortunately.
But I so desperately want them to.
But they're, you know, within reason. Like they always bring that up. They're like, oh, we're gonna, like we told them, you know, we were like showing them, like we're like, oh, we're revealing each day where we're gonna eat, right? And they were like, oh, the place with the steps, like that's how they called it, right? Because they remember the steps. But other than that, so that's why we can give them their Kindles, and then it's like Abby and I are on a date night.
I know, terrible. We're just enjoying, here come the hate emails.
We're enjoying margaritas and you know, guacamole and chips
while the 23 other hours of the day we're completely focused on the kids. Let's just keep that in mind. In any case, you know, we travel a lot with friends too, and we talk to our friends prior to going to Disney about what their expectations are during meal times with their kids, right? And so we've definitely changed as our kids get older. We've all agreed that, you know, we need to kind of gear them away to having more of social manners.
We want to make them more bored during meals.
No, that is not. You are the worst sometimes, honestly. All right. So what is your ride number three?
Well, my ride number three, and this was something that, like, what you were going to say was that you could basically pick like all Magic Kingdom rides. So I was trying
again, I'm like so worried we had the same one.
So I was trying not to. So I went out of my way to make sure I didn't pick another Magic Kingdom ride.
Okay.
And I should say that this ride does, like, it could definitely be updated, but it's also, I'm okay with it not being updated.
Interesting. Okay.
So this one is, you know, it originally opened, and I'm gonna bury the lead here a little bit, make everyone work. It originally opened when Epcot opened.
Oh, okay.
in 1982.
Yep, I was going to say the 80s.
Got yeah, it. It's been around since then because...
Oh, I think I know what you're going
because
for.
Because it's in the... main attraction of Epcot.
It smells like crayons.
It smells like crayons.
A travel specialist, Brianna, worked there.
It is Spaceship Earth.
Yes.
Now, it's old. It needs, it's the same thing. It's one of those rides that, again, when I went in the 80s, I remember going on that ride. Yeah. And I still remember it because, like, it's, just hasn't been updated since then.
Yeah.
There's like so many different things with it. It's part of like that Omni Mover ride, right? You get in a two person car. It's a four person car because there's two in the front, two in the back.
Yep.
And you each have like your own little screen and you just go through and it's this whole story of communication, right?
Yeah.
How man has communicated throughout the world. And that's why it's like, you know, it's in the middle of what was, you know, it was the world. Now it's going to be in the middle of Communicore Plaza, Communicore, you know, it's all part of that. Like, it's all about communication. And you just go through this ride. The technology, like I was saying, the screen, it like asks you questions.
Yeah.
You pick things and you're like, where would you want to live? Uh-huh. It's supposed to, like half the time it doesn't work correctly.
Yes. So the last time we went on it, it didn't work. It like our screen just broke and they were like, oh, you want to go again? And we're like, oh, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. So we've been
we've
on
got
it before.
We're done.
But it's also like when you, sometimes when I go through that ride, it's like a very powerful like ride because the message of like how we communicate has been like, so, you know, the printing press and, you know, just going back, going forward now, like with the internet, how everything is so changed. There could be like a whole nother ride just talking about the internet. I mean, and everything since then and how we communicate, but it is kind of like this. It just gives you this feeling like, you know, you're a smaller part of a much bigger system. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the intent is, right? And that you're in this big giant ball going around in a slow moving conveyor belt, watching animatronics that are, you know, 52 years old.
You know what I think about, though, too, in that big ball that you're going around in is like, where are you in the ball? Like, I always think about things like that. Like, where am I exactly in this ball? Like, how far am I from the entrance? Because if, you know, like, it's so misleading as like, and they want it to be, right? Yeah. They want it to be misleading. They don't want you, they want you to be disoriented as you're going through this because they want you to get lost in the message and what they're teaching you on the ride. And that definitely happens, except for people like me who get hyper-focused and are like, am I in the top? Am I coming down now? What is happening? But in any case, I don't know. That's definitely something I've thought about a lot in that ride.
Sorry, she's on margarita number two.
Well, no, so Rob is pouring margarita number two. I'm not quite on it yet.
Now, one of the interesting things when I was looking up Spaceship Earth, and I kind of went through... There was talks in the beginning, like in 2019, there was a plan to refurbish Spaceship Earth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was
2019. Of course, right before the world went on fire.
On August 25th, 2019, it was announced that as part of a multi-year renovation of Epcot, which is actually now just concluding.
Yeah.
With,
okay.
You know, Journey of Water and Communicore Plaza is opening up. Spaceship Earth would be updated with a new narrative about the human experience and the art of storytelling under the new name Spaceship Earth, Our Shared Story. An ethereal storylight would guide guests as they traveled through the attraction. The attraction was initially scheduled to close for this update on May 26, 2020. However, right, it was indefinitely delayed due to the temporary closure of Walt Disney World parks on March 16th due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Just right when I was supposed to go. I was supposed to go the following week and they canceled my trip.
See, there you go. When Epcot officially reopened in 2020, Disney confirmed that Spaceship Earth's new update had been indefinitely postponed. It said, spokesperson said, as with most businesses during the period, we are further evaluating long-term project plans.
Yeah.
So there was, the decision was made that they were going to develop a Mary Poppins inspired attraction in Epcot.
Aww.
And the Spaceship Earth refurbishment.
Yeah. Is it,
however, okay. In 2022, concept art for the attraction reportedly shows new and reimagined scenes from the attraction, but I couldn't actually find it.
Right.
That was in 2022. I couldn't. 2 years later, I can't find any of these supposed leaks. So, so that would have been interesting.
That would have been, and I hope that they. But again, it's one of those rides that everybody can go on. Like, think about a family that has ages from like 2 to 10. Or a grandma that can't go on jerky rides because she's got a bad back, or anybody. Yeah. This is an accessible ride, right? And so when you take it away,
it is. But
how many other accessible rides are there?
It is, but even our kids are bored during it.
Like, I know.
There's not much.
But it's 20 minutes of like cool air.
That smells like crayons.
I can get that. Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I'm okay. Like I would wait in more than like a 10 minute line to get on it. It's like 5 to 10 minutes. I'm like, all right, let's go to Spaceship Earth. But I'm not waiting in like a long line to get on that ride.
Absolutely.
But it's something that it is interesting, and I hope that the kids could one day really they can acknowledge it for what it is, and I don't like it.
I feel you.
All right, so what's your number three?
All right, so I'm gonna bury this lead a little.
We're all about burying the lead now.
It's like
we just discovered that phrase.
I think you taught it to me 2 episodes ago. So anyways, this ride is definitely nostalgic. Absolutely. Like, I remember it from when I was 4. Okay. Yeah. Like, this was a big deal. It's like insanely noisy, and it smells like it's got a really distinct smell. And that you're breathing in toxic fumes, but you're just like, it's okay. I'm at Disney World. I'm going to just do this. Oh,
man, I'm trying to think of it. I can't figure it out.
It's like in Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a little bit insane and out of control. Nothing.
It's a little bit insane. It's
Tomorrowland Speedway. Okay.
Oh, yes. Like, okay.
Dude, we are in 2024.
Yeah.
Do we need to have these backfiring cars happening everywhere?
It's true.
You get out of that and you're just like, oh my God, that's all I hear for the next 20,000 steps I'm saying is like the vibrations. And it just smells like oil.
But it's like so not like, I don't know. It's just like, once you realize what's happening, like, it's just not that fun. It's like, wait, so I can't pass the person in front of me. Oh,
right. Oh, and I can barely drive this, right? Yeah. I go right and it goes left. I go left and it goes right. It is,
but
like,
you always,
insane.
If you're a parent with the kid, the kid always ends up driving it.
Well, of course, because they can't fun is it for me to drive a car that I can't control? I'd be like,
so they're just like,
I'd get out and push it the right
way.
They're
just hitting that middle barrier that stops you from going out of your lane, and they're just constantly hitting it, like, because it's funny when you look back at representations of driving, right? When people, they show driving like on screen as you're learning, right? If you ask any kid, hey, show me how you drive, right? They're always taking the wheel and like turning it left and right constantly, right? But like, obviously you're not doing that most of the time. When you're driving, you're just holding it straight,
right?
But
right.
Kids always think that, so you get them on there and they're just going like back and forth. Yeah, like hitting this thing that allows them to go straight. So it's really confusing.
The cars are so out of date that like going back and forth, it doesn't even move. And you're like crazy on it. It's crazy. Plus the pedal of that car is like on the clear opposite side of like where it's supposed to be, so no kid can actually go on the pedal. So it's like you have to work together, like with your child, who, like, I mean, what child is a fabulous communicator? There are a lot out there, I'm sure, but Like, it's an insane ride. It was, I mean, it opened in October 1st, 1971. Okay. So, but so it had a different name, Grand Prix Raceway. Oh. And then that was the original attraction, still open, right? And then it was expanded in 1973 and remained unchanged until 1994 when it was remodeled, like the whole remodeled of Tomorrowland, right?
Okay.
So in 2008, it was named Tomorrowland Speedway.
Gotcha.
So I'm just, first of all, or tenth of all, I don't know, we're down the road on this. The landscapes around it, around these crazy cars that don't even drive well.
Yeah.
There's so much landscaping that is not used well.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
There are so many things that could like go in there and like be fun for drivers or whatever. What if the passenger could be like, you know, on Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin could be like shooting things for points or something different rather than listening to this really loud noise and breathing in the toxic fumes and just like, am I gonna die on this ride? Is my kid gonna just drive me off the cliff here? You know, there's a lot of things that can be taken advantage of here that just aren't.
Now, here's one thing. Obviously, over in Disneyland, they have one of the rides that's known as like one of the best rides in California Adventure. It's the Radiator Springs Racer, the Cars ride.
Yes.
It's supposed to be a phenomenal ride. Obviously, I haven't been on it.
Next year, babe.
Yeah, fingers crossed. They could potentially replace, you know, that ride there. Yeah. You know, they could put that ride in Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
But now it's like, but do they also, would they need, like, they just got Tron. They got Tiana's Bayou, which is like a new reimagining.
They're going to reopen,
you know, the park, the big 10-year breakout.
Hmm. I think with the opening of Tiana's Bayou and Tron being available, like they've got to re-update this old stuff. Like they have to.
I heard that they're going to change the name from Tomorrowland to Yesterland because
I know it's outdated. Like crazy. It's I mean, come on. I don't know. But yeah, so that's it. That's my wrap on the three rides that I think need to really be revamped.
There could be a few more, you know, like there's Magic Kingdom could use it. Absolutely. It's somewhat interesting now, kind of leading into that. We'll go into some news around the parks.
Okay.
One of them being, right, one of the rides that you could arguably say needs to be renovated and probably should have when the movie came out a few years back. Is the Jungle Cruise.
And they did little itty-bitty revamps, but not like an overall overlay. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, right, that ride is so interesting in that the things just, everything looks, you know, you don't think anything's real. Like it looks fake and it's, you know, the hippopotamus is in the water, but you still enjoy it.
Yeah.
And the reason you enjoy it.
And to a young child who doesn't know like the world yet, like they might feel like a lot of this is real, right?
And like obviously what makes that is the skips in that their humor and, you know, that they kind of make that ride work. And so you're not really there to look at the ride itself. It's like a kind of combination of the two. But with that being said, this is, you know, big, huge breaking news. They just finished replacing all the dock boards at Magic Kingdom's Jungle Cruise.
I was like, neat. Yeah.
So, you know, the Disney Hour Express, we love safety. So
We also love boating since we both have our boating license and no boat.
That's true. I got mine and never used it. So it was a great time. So they replaced all the dock boards. They replaced them they were wood all these years and they were constantly getting wet, you know, whether it's just people's feet or whatever it is that's bringing up the water. So they replaced them all with composite decking,
which you know all about.
And it's all like ridged, so like you can it's easier to walk on and you won't be slipping or anything like that.
Yeah,
so look, we love safety here and so we're all about it, and that'll be a ride that, you know, I'll keep dragging the kids on to
until
they're like, can we just go on our own? And we're like, yeah, fine. So I'm just going to be dragging you on to it.
Well, you know what, baby? I'm in for it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not dragging her. She wants to go.
I know. I want to go.
She wants to go. Other things around the park. So they just released, during this past week, they released the pricing for the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party.
That's right. They did.
So the big thing is that the lowest price, and this is all based, the pricing is all based on what they predict to be the busier times. Mm-hmm. So the lowest priced ticket has gone up $10 and went from $109 to $119 now. Mm-hmm. So they know they got you. Mm-hmm. Right? They know they're pushing it. They're like, mm-hmm. each year we keep pushing halfway to Halloween, halfway keeps getting sooner and sooner. So we keep pushing it. So they have that. The Friday, August 9th is when it opens. It's the first show.
Yes.
That's $149.
So it's so pricey. I got a lot of tickets for that day.
So they charge you like a middle, you know, a little bit higher. And then like the following party, which is the following Tuesday, it's back down to $119. Mm-hmm. So they kind of know what they're doing, Disney. Mm-hmm. We got you. I got my eye on you. Yeah. I know what you're up to. And then the highest price, which is pretty much like the month of October, like right as you get to Halloween, is $199. Mm-hmm. So it goes from $119 to $199.
Right. And you know what? I'm really bummed because Rob won't be joining me, but travel specialist Nicole will. We will be going to Mickey's Not So Scary this year. I am really bummed Rob's not going to be there, though, and he's going to let me hear about it, I'm sure. But we got in there. We'll be there.
What do you
there.
Mean? I'm going to have the fun of being home with our children.
And I appreciate you.
You could call that Rob's very scary Christmas Halloween party.
It could be. Yeah. Oh, baby. I appreciate you holding down the fort.
You better bring me home a bunch of candy.
I will bring you home candy and pins and buttons and all sorts of things.
Over, still staying in Magic Kingdom, we're talking Tiana's Bayou Adventure, which we talked about in great detail last week, is now opening. If you go to your My Disney Experience app and you look on the map, it is now on the map. And
awesome.
It's listed. It says Tiana's Bayou Adventure, and it says opening June 28th. Yes, it says opening June 28th.
That's right. And they've got annual pass holder dates out now. And yeah. We know that there's going to be cast member previews, yes. All sorts of things happening. That's what,
and as we said, we have travel specialists down there now.
That's right.
They really want to get on this ride.
They do. They were like, and a lot of them are old cast members or whatever. So they are definitely holding their old cast member friends hostage to try to get some tickets to get on this ride.
How can I get it? So there's, it says opening June 28th. The gift shops, Critter Co-op, and Tiana's Bayou General are not yet labeled, but those will be.
Okay.
Those will open supposedly at the same time.
Amazing.
That's it. We talked about the Jungle Cruise over in. Now, this is something we don't talk about very often. It's over in Disney Springs.
Hey, Disney Springs.
Starting on May 24th, you could check out the new drone show over there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I've seen some of the pictures of the drone show.
Yes.
What do you think?
I mean, it looks kind of amazing to me.
It does?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. If you think it looks amazing, I'll go with that.
Well, you know, part of that is because there's like a giant Death Star in the sky.
You'd be into it. Okay.
I mean, there's other things like Baymax. And Disney Dreams That Soar. And it's all about anything that can fly, basically, is what it's like, you know, going to the skies. And so it shows like Baymax and it shows Disney, as Peter Pan. It has all these things because it's a drone show. It's a light show. I mean, it looks like it could be pretty amazing. And it's in Disney Springs. It needs something else other than you wanting to go eat or drink.
Yes.
And now you kind of have that, right?
Yeah. Especially for us who don't like do a lot of shopping while they're there because, I mean, we just don't. We look, but we don't shop.
That would make
us stay longer.
The drone show happens twice a night, right? It doesn't say, I haven't get it's I haven't gotten exactly the times, but it does say it's going to happen twice a night. It's 10 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And they say that the best viewing place to experience this is in Disney Springs West Side, which I looked for a landmark. And where if you know where Splitsville is, which is one of our favorite places,
yeah,
if you're at Splitsville and you see the water, you're on the west side, and that's where like the biggest place. It's okay. Like the most in depth of water, where you can check it out. So if you're in Disney Springs and you're there and it's dark out, you might see a drone show. So it looks pretty cool. I'm into it. You can see Dumbo, you see Baymax.
Yeah, I'd be into it too.
Peter Pan, and it all has like, it has music. So, you know, you're going to feel the power of it all.
Which I feel, so over at Disneyland, they have a lot more of this kind of making it very park-esque rather than just shopping. So I do appreciate they're trying to bring it over to Disney Springs. I will still forever and always call it Downtown Disney.
Downtown Disney.
Downtown.
Now we're going to hop over to our friends over at Universal.
Hey, hey.
Halloween Horror Nights, select nights, August 30th through November 3rd.
See, I always get upset. Like, I need to go to HHN. We need to figure this out.
You and Nicole could go.
I want to go with you, baby. Nicole, I just have to tell you, I told her that we were going to go to HHN, and she was like, no, I don't do that. And I said, I'm sorry, but you will have to go. Like, there's just no choice. And she was like, this is the kind of friendship she had. She was like, fine. But then it turns out they're not open when we're gonna be there, so
there she doesn't go. Have to go. She lucked
like,
out.
She was just like, fine, Abby. Things I do for you.
The first first announced house, okay, the first house has been announced. I guess I said that wrong. It's called Slaughter Cinema 2.
Oh jeez.
There was a Slaughter Cinema, which is supposed to be like a throwback to B movies.
Okay. Right?
You know, obviously B movies are mostly known as low budget horror movies.
Yeah.
And this is going to kind of be a part of that. So,
okay.
Slaughter Cinema 2. It looks like there's a lot of blood and a lot of gore and some crazy things revealed on a panel that they just had at the Wyndham Orlando Resort on May 17th. Sounds like a great panel. I'm upset I missed it.
Yikes, man.
Yeah, there's pumpkins, there's scary things happening. Again, Universal is doing a very good job of giving a narrative to Halloween Horror Nights. If you go look on their YouTube, there's like this whole video of like a gate opening, and it's like scary. It's, they're doing a good job.
They've always done an amazing job. Yes. At that.
So kind of like on the flip side now of Universal Studios, and just because I know everyone... I talked about it last week. I'm sure everyone wants the update. The ET sign is up.
Thank goodness. I was so worried people wouldn't be able to
find the ET ride again. It's still there. It's still open. ET is phoning home, and he may not say your name. I can't guarantee that. Sometimes it just says traveler or whatever.
Fair.
But now the DreamWorks Land is open.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Very fantastic. I've heard middling reviews.
I've heard nothing about it, which tells me that it's just kind of...
Yeah. Like, I've heard it's okay. There's a, like a
it's
Shrek...
terrible. Like they spent so much money on this.
There's a Shrek meet and greet, and, you know, you can see Shrek characters, and there's the Troller Coaster, is a kid family, you know. I don't know. One thing that I found funny, right, they have this... So they have a... place called Poppy's Playground, and it's like a play area for kids, and it's underneath what looks like, I can't tell if it's a mushroom or something that looks like a mushroom, but it has like certain things you could crawl or hop on. It's I'll be honest with you, it just looks like they were like, well, we have these things left over, like let's put them in here. It really doesn't look that fun. But I guess little kids just want to be able to run around and hop on things. The weird thing is it has a sign, right? They, you know, every attraction has to have like a sign, has like, you know, restrictions or whatever. Poppy's Playground says warning, and it lists a bunch of other like different, rules you have to follow. But it says no running or horseplay. Like, It's a playground.
Yeah.
Like, what else are you supposed to do on this playground?
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Got it. That just, I was like, come on, Universal. It really just seems like this whole DreamWorks Land was like unnecessary.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
They could have done something else there.
Yeah.
Like it was almost like, as if they were contractually obligated to put something out and instead. And so they were like, all right, well, there you go.
I'm so bummed to hear this.
But yeah, I don't think any of our, I can't even imagine like our kids wanting to like go in here. I don't think they have any.
The
like,
thing is, I thought they were supposed to do a big like Poppy was supposed to sing. Like they were supposed to have some sort of sing along area.
Yeah, that might be in there. Like there's a Shrek meet and greet. There's a Kung Fu Panda.
Again, who watches Kung Fu Panda? Nobody.
I don't.
We know. Are in the prime age range, and we do not watch it.
I mean,
nor do we hear about
I'm
it.
I'm sure they probably have like the members of NSYNC performing here daily. At this point, they'll do anything. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh man, I'm so bummed. I was hoping this was going to be a cool area, especially because I felt like, you know, the Seuss old Landing is cute, yeah, and it's expansive, but as far as rides go, that wasn't expansive.
Mm-hmm.
One right? Fish, there was fish. There was only like two real rides,
or yeah, there's like three rides, I think.
Like I remember the One Fish, Two Fish, rides. And then the trolley, and then what else?
There's the Cat in a Hat ride.
Isn't that the trolley? No, that's
no. There's the one that goes above. That's like the Dr. Seuss.
That's the trolley.
Yeah, and then there's the Cat in a Hat ride, which we went on multiple times.
Okay.
There's one for, then I don't know if the Riptide Rapids, is that part of Seuss Landing? I can't remember now. Or is that something else? So. But anyway.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
DreamWorks Land, it feels like it could have been better. I mean, they were doing nothing with that area, so it was,
yeah,
it was down. I'm getting conflicting reports whether or not the animal show is still alive. I can't tell you.
I know. And we actually really loved that show.
It was fun.
It was so good.
Like, I bring the kids back to go see it.
I love seeing animals. I get so like, I'm like, I'm going to go home and teach our dogs all those tricks, right? Like that show makes me feel like I can do it all.
And here we are, the Amazon driver like came to our house and we can't even get the dogs to stop barking at them.
Well, we can't even get them to like come for a treat. Like we're the worst. Our dogs. Very misbehaved.
And we're the worst, but you guys are the best.
You are the best. Thanks so much for stopping by.
We appreciate it. And, you know, I think we'll see you on the next refurbishment.
This has been a Family Travel Planner production.